I'm Dream Queen. You've been in the cab with me. Thank you so much for rolling with me. I especially appreciate my regular listeners. I really, really do. You know, we love each other through it. We love each other through it, and I appreciate every single one of you. Welcome, new people. We have a book club going on right now. We've been reading Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. You can catch up with us. Find all the links at Linktree in the Cab Radio. We've just celebrated our 1 year in the book club last year, just the end of October 2023. We came into All About Love with Bell Hooks, New Visions, and then into Martin Luther King Jr.'s A Knock at Midnight, Collected Sermons, and now we're here with Khalil Gibran. I really like where we've come together, y'all. I really do. So, brief synopsis. We've been with Al-Mustafa, the chosen one, traveler, sage. I've decided he's a Sagittarius. Maybe he got a little Gemini in there somewhere. Definitely some Virgo. I'm just making stuff up. But he's a traveler, and he's been in the land of Orphalese for 12 years, and he's getting ready to go home. His ship is arriving, and as he makes his way down to the waterside, the people of Orphalese recognize the hermit and sage, and they ask him, please don't go, and he says, I must go. And the high priestess of the village comes out, and she says, tell us some of your wisdoms while we wait with you before you leave us. And he says, there's nothing I can tell you that you don't already know in your heart. However, he will speak to them and answer their questions. I want to add, especially for this chapter, the people of Orphalese, they were busy out when Al-Mustafa began his walk down to the shore. During this time, these people are pretty much anchored to where they are. And they work for their village. They're farmers, they're masons, these type of people, you know, each of them is introduced at the beginning of each poem. You know, we have a woman with a babe asking about children. We have the keeper of an inn asking about eating and drinking. We have a plowman who asks about work. So this one is a merchant. And I've spoken a little bit about the importance of the traveler, of the immigrant, to come to you from a far land and share customs, be a mirror to your own. The stranger brings out things in us that often we cannot see within ourselves. And we begin to know the stranger as a friend because the stranger holds a mirror to us, is a mirror to us. And there is nothing more intimate than a mirror. And maybe that's why we fear strangers so much. Because things come up that we maybe haven't reckoned with or recognized. And when we stay in our bubbles, in our regular habits, and we are with our families and friends, and we get used to each other, how do we grow if we don't invite in a strange idea or allow someone else to invoke in us something from within our depths? Something to be grateful for. Something to be grateful for. Yet I digress. That was an incoming transmission for someone. Needed to hear that. All right. And here we are. A merchant said, speak to us of buying and selling. And he answered and said, To you, the earth yields her fruit. And you shall not want if you but know how to fill your hands. It is in exchanging the gifts of the earth that you shall find abundance and be satisfied. Yet, unless the exchange be in love and kindly justice, it will but lead some to greed and others to hunger. When in the marketplace, you toilers of the sea and fields and vineyards, meet the weavers and the potters and the gatherers of spices. Invoke then the master spirit of the earth to come into your midst and sanctify the scales and the reckoning that weighs value against value. And suffer not the barren-handed to take part in your transactions, who would sell their words for your labor. To such men you should say, come with us to the field, or go with our brothers to the sea and cast your net, for the land and the sea shall be bountiful to you, even as to us. And if there come the singers and the dancers and the flute players, buy of their gifts also. For they too are gatherers of fruit and frankincense. And that which they bring, though fashioned of dreams, is raiment and food for your soul. And before you leave the marketplace, see that no one has gone his way with empty hands. For the master spirit of the earth shall not sleep peacefully upon the wind till the needs of the least of you are satisfied. Khalil Gibran, the prophet, on buying and selling. All right, deep exhale, all right? So, it's all pretty clear there, I think, to most of the audience that rolls with me. We all seek equity, fairness, appreciation, opportunity, happiness, joy, self-respect, respect of others, acknowledgement, and the space and room to grow and become masters of our craft. Once upon a time, I think there were such things as apprenticeships. There still are. It's a very interesting world that we live in, though. I think they call them interns now. It's unfortunate to work and labor without fair compensation. It's unfortunate to be judged for what you do in order to earn a living. That's where joy comes in and being in alignment with our purpose. Sometimes it's hard to get the proper acknowledgement from society, from your family. If you don't fit into certain norms or make a certain amount of money. Talking with dear friends the other day, we were talking about the definition of success. This just popped in while I was saying those previous words. It's a lot of pressure on all of us to take care of our families. This time of year is especially tenuous. Yet we do the best we can with integrity and trying to be as close to our truest selves and nature as possible. And all of you deserve recognition for that. All of you deserve a nice, warm virtual hug and real life hug for everything that you bring to the table as you try. Whether it's paying your bank account or paying you karma, you know what you're doing. So we'll take it all the way back to the first line like we do. To you, the earth yields her fruit, and you shall not want if you but know how to fill your hands. It is in exchanging the gifts of the earth that you shall find abundance and be satisfied. Period, point blank. That's why the first thing that colonizers do is put up fences. Why will we bow to unjust laws? Unjust laws, we covered that in the Martin Luther King. Unjust laws. If we don't need your money to be sustained. That whole teach a man to fish. The whole the earth provides for us and we provide for the earth as stewards. If we but caretake, if we but become our fullest self, a chord on the lute, a string in the lute of the music of life, we resonate with the cycle of things. We know when to plant, we know when to reap. However, if we do not have access to the land, then we are at the mercy of the government man and the oligarch and the industry man. And I say man because they set that up. The great men of commerce. We can give them that one, ladies. We're working with the binary and patriarchy. So, it's apparent and unfortunate that the earth provides everything that we need, but only few have access. Those few with access, speaking on them, access to the earth, the yielding of fruit is just about so literal. You know, what popped into my mind was Hawaii and the pineapple, Dole Pineapple Company, and you know, the just the ravaging of the land and the people for agriculturalists. Not to say that that's less here on the mainland. It's just the image that popped into my mind. I don't know if somebody's eating pineapples, if I need some vitamin C. It just, maybe it's Kilauea. You know, she erupted again last week. That's the volcano that DJ Bad DJ. I just like to call her DJ Bad DJ. But Bad DJ and I went and visited in June on the Big Island. And it erupted while Bad DJ was there. I'm working on a small documentary about our journey to the volcano. But anyway, she's still with me. She is very much still with me. And it's not lost on me, these eruptions that are happening. I believe there was another one somewhere in the South Pacific that went off as well last week. She gonna do what she do. It's just whether she's gonna let us hang in here or not. Unless the exchange be in love and kindly justice, it will but lead some to greed and others to hunger. We know that very well. We could spend a long time very long time, much more than the half hour or so we have left talking about greed. Greed. She's a monster. And I think a void, a hunger that many, especially modern Americans, have our biggest struggle with. When they say wrestling demons, America and our greed, and what we think we can and cannot live without. We talked a bit about conveniences on and comfort in the chapter on houses a couple weeks ago. We now are, I would say we have been in something very close. We've been approaching an oligarchy, I think, I mean, since the beginning, really. I mean, the guys who came here and killed everybody, they were white, rich dudes with money and boats. And they chopped down a bunch of trees and put down some fences, killed some folks, and then put themselves in charge. They had capital to do that. I could say that now we're in an oligarchy because Elon Musk and, you know, AIPAC and all of that. But those of us who have lived this for generations, clearly on the side, the wrong side of the boot, so to speak. Even the smallest privilege of the conqueror is way more than what any indigenous person or African person put value on this continent. It's an imaginary thing. Their paper dollars only deal amongst themselves, and then now all of a sudden, we have a world with paper dollars and fences around trees, around gardens, around homes, on borders, across people's natural and ancestral migration paths. Y'all think that people just thousands of years just stayed in one spot when they had this whole landmass to walk across and ride animals across and follow the warm weather across, and somehow our past couple hundred years we just discover traveling? So some shut down an exchange between all and made it between few, took love and justice out, and starved some and keep everything for themselves. And that's unfortunate. And those of us who participate in it, it's just part of the disease of our mindset. And it's okay. We're here to recognize and become conscious and decide how much we want to play. So when you're registering the success of yourself and your neighbors and your family, think about all the different ways in which we need progress. We need to progress in certain ways as individuals, on a spiritual level and on a mental level, on a overstanding level of comprehending the many, how should we say, the kaleidoscopic realities in which we exist. It's not just me that exists in many realities. You do too. You have the self that you are consciously constantly trying to touch, whether you know it or not. Your journey to your true self is where your power and your real joy lies, in your core. And yourself, you are always looking for that, even as you're looking for a partner or a job or a place to live, you are constantly trying to get back to the place where you feel secure. not just on a material level, but held spiritually to where no matter what happens, you are so sure of your place on this planet and you're deserving to be on this planet that you can operate from a place of power. In your dreams, your subconscious self is always trying to wake you up to that. Not what your mama taught you, not what your church taught you, not what your daddy taught you, not what your partner wants you to believe, or what your kids are yelling at you. It's just really about your own peace. So we cover in the bell hooks. She goes into a chapter. She has a chapter on greed. And it's about the void that is left in us from lovelessness. Because many of us haven't experienced true, real, consistent love. I did not bring the Bell Hooks book with me today. I wasn't intending on going here. But like y'all know, it's channel message. What does she say that love is? She and Scott Peck say that love is the willingness to extend oneself for one's own and another's spiritual growth. And then Bell Hooks takes it further to help us recognize qualities so that we may engage in what does she call the art of loving. So we can practice the art of loving. Care, respect, knowledge. I seem to believe there's like seven, but she didn't really count them. There's more. I need to add the Bell Hooks to the and Martin Luther King resources to the book club resources. So forgive me, it's not there, but you can look it up. So anyway, the chapter on greed, right? So we're trying to get to why some of us consume so much, and how the culture has replaced a real fulfillment with the void, and is strategic because of the loveless exchange that goes with commodities, the commodification of our basic needs, the things that we require just to exist, food, shelter, clothing, and water now. Hello? Water? Okay. Oof, I wasn't even going to talk about this. I haven't even thought of this before, so bear with me. But shouldn't the people, the companies that are polluting all this water be cleaning it up? I mean, why do I have to go to the store and buy water, put it in more plastic, and then, you know, I got to pay for all of the whole process while they're getting tax breaks to pollute every single chance and every single thing, and just further disrespect and displace people? We're still talking about the uranium that they're trying to mine here. Now they're talking about helium they're trying to mine here in Arizona and New Mexico. Just all across indigenous lands. You know, it's just more things. And then every day I turn on the news, and I don't turn it on every day, but every time that I look at this, I see somebody surprised that they find in dead bodies at residential schools. Where the heck do you think all the people went? You know, I love it. They'd be like, oh, the Mayans just left. No, you killed a whole bunch of people, and then the rest had to change their identity in order to survive. Come on, man, wake up. But I'm supposed to walk around, oh, really? Like, oh, y'all just found that out? What brown people been saying to you forever that you just been going ahead and ignoring? And so you can go around and just, we have to desecrate ourselves in order to get you to believe us about the way you desecrated us. It's a trip to me. Bring back the love and kindly justice in everything we do. Think for yourselves. And even if you are surprised, just try to hide it a little bit to some of your friends and just be like, yeah, this country's been up to some real bad stuff for a real long time. Yeah, no, I've been hip. Nobody will never know that you didn't know. Because this is what perpetuates stuff, is that we just get, as Americans especially, and the perpetrators of genocide and diseducation, they count on this aspect. They burn libraries, they change textbooks and rewrite history so that we don't know what really happened in the future generations. Those of us that survive, we have a Stockholm syndrome and some sort of misunderstanding of how we got here. So then we spend years learning about it. Then we get exhausted. And then we try to do something about it. And then we old and we tired. And then you try to teach the youth so that they can come, and you educate them so that they don't have to start over when they're, you know, out of college and have to begin their real education, if they so choose to, you know, because after you get into the job and the money, you know, and trying to support a family and do all of this and that, you don't have time to read an extracurricular book, the energy to learn history. It takes a certain amount of energy. So now you done lost generations. We've lost generations, but the capitalists and oligarchs have gained a lot of money. Went saw Nosferatu last night. It's so funny because y'all got to see it. I ain't gonna do no spoiler. Don't see it, but it's funny. I mean, I thought it was supposed to be super scary. I found it to be hilarious. A lot of bad choices being made on that movie, but what got sold out. And also, I had this thought last night, and I'm like, oh, I know how vampires made their money. Real estate. No, I'm not saying nothing against nobody who owns real estate. I'm just saying that the vampire mystery, you know, you sit around, and I just sit around, and I'm like, how do you get so rich? Like, you just, after all of the centuries and stuff, right? And you got to hide your identity. You can't really be the same person. I can't be Jada for 300 years, you know, filling out the government paper with the same name. And I'm like, why is he even bothering to fill out the paperwork? You know, you always watch the vampire movie and they got, they send for Jonathan and everybody, you know, send me an agent to Transylvania. I demand it. And I'm going to buy that mansion over there. And then I'm going to come. And I'm like, man, he came back from the dead, got a pact with Satan, rich, can, you know, eat people, just be invisible, do all of this stuff, right? But you got to sign that deed. We need to send Jonathan all the way out to Carpathia to get you to sign that government paperwork. And I'm at home and I can't sleep. That's why I'm going on like this, because my mind is all scrambled. Like, I was just busy. Like, why am I laughing? I thought I was going to be, like, scared all night at the creeks or whatever, because they made it seem like on the internet that this was the scariest movie coming up, right? But I just couldn't stop laughing, because, and I'm like, oh, that's how you do it, though. You got to get that government paper signed. You put it in your trust, and then you can just leave it to yourself over the generations. I mean, the dude's pulling out sacks of gold and little tiny chests of gold. And I'm like, how do you get all of that? And it's buying and selling. Buying and selling. Especially big plots of land. So anyway, I found that interesting. Excuse my digression. If you're looking for a review on Nosferatu, there you have it. It was the best comedy I've seen so far. A lot of terrible things happened. I did cover my eyes several times, but I'm still laughing. It's been 12 hours. I got 3 hours of sleep, so this whole time I was laughing for 10 hours. Invoke the master spirit of the earth to come into your midst and sanctify the scales and the reckoning that weighs value against value. Bless your scales. How many people do you think do that these days? That ask for fairness in the marketplace. That's an interesting one. You know, given where we're at now in society, if you go to the big box store and they forget you to ring you up for something, you're not going back. You're not going back and say, hey, you forgot to charge me for this piece of lumber. You're like, oh, they didn't charge me for this piece of lumber. They got enough money over there. Right? So, but I do think that once upon a time, people did do more fair exchanges. And this line reminds me, I don't know if I had told y'all about the book that was loaned to me by a dear neighbor here. It's called Outrageous Openness, Letting the Divine Take the Lead. And it's about walking in your intuition. And also beyond that, it is about how opening the door to your intuition and yourself to respect and bring in and invite in the divine and the higher understanding of the vibration of the earth that we live on and the connection between all beings on this planet and without this planet. You know, there's billions. We share material, we share genetic material and minerals and we are all of the universe, right? So when we open up and we say, hey, spirit, guide me, whether spirit be your, it is all of these things, your higher self, the vibration that connects us all. When we ask that to lead us and we invite that in, then things become good for all of those within our vibrational field. Not to say that we don't have disagreements or irritations, but then we turn those disagreements and irritations into opportunities for learning and growth. When we can take the time to do that and it's all not immediate, it's a journey that goes across lifetimes. No Dracula? Lifetimes. But it's true. It's true. So I'm running out of time. I'm going to skip over a couple of my underlines and I'm just going to invite us all, close that thought and say, when we invite spirit to make all things fair, to guide my hand and my heart and that of the people around me, it's great. Like it's nice to invite the higher good into everything we do. It is good. It is good. I like the part where they say, if there come the singers and dancers and flute players, buy of their gifts also. I'm enjoying spending money on art. And I've found, interestingly, that as I exchange art, right now it's just commerce for me because I had not for much of my life been actually that's not true. This is art. But when I go buy like paintings or, jewelry or whatever like that, you know, I just feel like I didn't have much talent in that area. Living here in New Mexico for so long and being surrounded by so many brilliant and beautiful artists and those who visit the state and exchange their energy to make the world a more beautiful and tolerable place, it's inspired something in me to see my contributions differently. And not only what y'all get here on the radio and those of y'all who knew that I'm a poet and have, you know, that my little book that I did and everything like that. But now I sit down and draw. And it feels really good. Because I've invited an exchange of energy with other visual artists around me and really looked at their work, not in a way of competition, but in an appreciation that made me want to explore that within myself. And the line, that which they bring, though fashioned of dreams, is raiment and food for your soul. We often say, what's the point of a revolution or a movement if it is not encased in the reason to be here? Not the reason for vengeance. Not the reason for punishment or the total overturn. Because if we overturn something, then those on the bottom will be on the top, but then somebody else is on the bottom after that. We level the playing field for all. So this movement has to include art and love and care, even for the least among us. Now, as we talk about success, what do we consider to be the least? If we are a people who put value on things other than money, say those of us warriors of love and justice warriors, when we look at what we are trying to create here, what we value as successes, then the anti that is the least of us, the bigots, those who commit heinous crimes, those corroded and tortured and made gross and dead inside by greed. Those are now the least of us, the ones to be pitied, the ones who are less fortunate, who can't find love. Do I believe they're born like that? Do I believe that Elon Musk was born a lizard man? Maybe. Don't look up when them drones start dropping stuff, go in the house. I'm telling you. It's popping off. It's popping off. Intergalactic planetary, man. I don't know. I don't want to begin to entertain that people are bred without souls, because that's what they tried to say about my people and did all kinds of heinous things to us. So if you see something missing, you know, either go in the house or engage it. That's on you. I hope that if you have a good story about it, you'll get in touch with IndieCabRadio@gmail.com. Tell me all about it. Instagram. If you engage the lizard people. Because even if you're draconian or Lemurian or Palladian or a hairless monkey like me, there's sea creatures, birds and squirrels, and all the pack rats. They love in the tinsel. You have a place here. It does not all belong to me or anyone else. Giving up versus sharing. Think about things in different ways. All right. Let me see. I want to take 1 minute to just see if there's anything else. You know, a lot of people going to work right now. And you're going to make your best decisions today. The master spirit of the earth is with you. I hope you have a great day. And enjoy the rest of your holiday. Have a prosperous new year. Safe travels out there. My condolences in your grief. We're all here. Even those who we can't see. I know they be in and out. So this one goes out to all the striking workers. Solidarity. This one goes out to all the workers who are not striking. Solidarity. We don't all have a union, but we are all united. All right, y'all. Transmission complete. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be with you next week, God willing. And the creek don't rise. Look at that. I hope the creek did rise on him. Look up that phrase. I learned something interesting about that phrase. I don't have time to tell you about it. God willing and the creek don't rise. Tap that into your search engine. Goes back to the wars with the indigenous people here. Anyway, I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Happy New Year. In the Cab Radio is produced by Jada White, aka Dream Queen. Original theme music produced by Baby Weekend Boys and Icky Mac the Beat Jugular. Learn more at In the Cab Radio at Linktree. Thank you so much for tuning in.